welcome to your fifth week of review. That's right, it's your last review week. Congratulations on coming this far. Just a little heads up, this review is supposed to be done after you finish Unit 24, okay? They were released together, but you're supposed to finish Unit 24 first and then start this review week, all right? So let's get started. You already know how this works. Our first class is going to be about our dialogue and business in focus classes, all right? Our first sentence is already there. It is, we do. There have been some crucial developments. First off, there have been some problems with our contractors in Mexico. Just remember that we do is a short answer, okay? So the previous sentence in the dialogue was a sentence in present simple, and we do would be the short answer for that, okay? So we do. There have been some crucial developments. So be careful here with the pronunciation of crucial. Crucial, okay? Crucial developments. First off, there have been some problems with our contractors in Mexico. So here we have that structure that you guys already know, that is there be, right? So the base form of this structure to say that something exists, that something is somewhere, is there be. So what in Portuguese we might say tem, something like that. In English we say there be with that meaning of exists, all right? So the base form is there be. And because we have be in base form, we can actually do anything we want with this structure, all right? We can use it with models and we can use it in any tense that we want, okay? So just for us to remember, in the present we say there is for singular or uncountable objects, and there are for plural objects, okay? So for example, there is a pencil on my desk. So I'm just saying that something is positioned on my desk. There is a pencil on my desk. And if it was more than one pencil, there are pencils on my desk. And then if we're talking about the past, there was for singular and uncountable, and there were for plural, okay? So I can say there was a pencil on my desk yesterday, for example, or there were pencils on my desk yesterday or last month, for example, okay? That's the past. But of course, this is not the only possibilities that we have. We can say there have been. So when we want to use this structure in the present perfect, we use there have been, okay? Because we have be in the base structure, we use there have been. There have been, as we see here in our sentence, some developments. So some developments existed in the recent past, all right? Remember that present perfect refers to a moment that began in the past and is not necessarily finished, okay? That's the big difference between present perfect and past simple, all right? So there have been some developments that are affecting us now. And if I wanted to use the past perfect, it would be there had been. Remember that past perfect is a past before the past, okay? There had been some developments. So if I wanted to say that there were some developments before another point in the past, this is the sentence I would use. There had been some developments the last time we had a meeting, for example, okay? So I'm referring to the past of the past. And when we talk about models, it's easier actually, because we can use this structure with any model, and it's usually used to refer to possibilities, all right? So if it's a small possibility, there might be some new developments. So if I don't know for sure if there were or if there weren't any developments, I can say there might be some developments. Do you guys remember that might expresses a possibility that you are not certain about, okay? So you're not certain about it, so we use might. And if we are a little more certain, we can say there should be some new developments. So we use should when we kind of have evidence that happened, okay? There should be some developments. So maybe I heard someone say something that made me believe that there were some new developments, some new things happened, right? So there might be some new developments. There should be some new developments. So it's really simple. We just put the model before B, okay? The structure is usually like that, okay? If it was negative, there shouldn't be any new developments, right? And if it's interrogative, should there be any new developments? All right. So remember that we can use any model here. So I could say there can be. Can also expresses a strong possibility, a possibility that I'm very sure about. Okay. And must, when it's the strongest possibility. You are basically sure, you are certain that there were some new developments. Okay. So there must be some new developments. This expresses that you have a lot of evidence and you are basically certain, all right? So there must be some new developments. So this structure is very useful. It's very flexible, right? So any model, any time, anything, we can use there B, all right? We just change the B or add the models. Okay, so our second sentence from this class is, yes, I got in touch with the local suppliers and they said they're ready to deliver whatever we might need on a week's notice. We're really just waiting for the paperwork to be ready. Okay, let's read again. Yes, I got in touch with the local suppliers and they said they're ready to deliver whatever we might need on a week's notice. We're really just waiting for the paperwork to be ready. Very good. So get in touch, you guys already know this expression. You say get in touch when you make contact with someone, but get in touch is the most common one in daily conversation, okay? I got in touch with the local suppliers, be careful with the pronunciation here, suppliers, and they said they're ready to deliver whatever we might need, okay? So here we have the word whatever, and this is that old structure that we see, which is a question word with the suffix ever, right? So we can say whenever, wherever, however, all of that. And usually the suffix has a sense of unlimited. It doesn't really matter which object or which place. So whenever doesn't matter when. Wherever doesn't matter where, okay? However, it doesn't matter the way how you do something, okay? So, whenever you need any help, call me. So, doesn't matter when, if you need it, just call me, all right? Or you can say, wherever you are, you can call me. So, for example, in a big building where you work, if you want to tell the person that it's okay for her to call you, doesn't matter where she's positioned, we use wherever, okay? But it's very interesting to notice also that this suffix can be have a sense of every, okay? So whenever can have a sense of every time. So for example, you can say, whenever I see my manager, we talk about this project. So if you have a huge project going on and it's been on your mind and in your manager's mind, you can say, whenever I see my manager, we talk about this project. So this means that every time you see your manager, the project, that specific project is the subject, okay? Wherever can have that sense of it doesn't matter where, but also it can have that sense of every place, okay? So we can say, we can discuss this wherever we go. So everywhere we go, we can discuss this. So the sentence can have those two senses. It doesn't matter where, or every place, all right? And however really doesn't have that much sense, but it is used with that sense. It doesn't matter which way, it doesn't matter how. So however you decide to do this, I'm sure the result will be great. So the person still hasn't decided exactly how she's going to do a certain thing. You can say, however you decide to do this, I'm sure the result will be great. So it doesn't matter how you do it, the result will be good, okay? So that's it for our first class. Let's go to class number two. So our next sentence is, what did you used to do? Why do you miss it so much? What did you used to do? Why do you miss it so much? So here we have a very interesting structure, which is used to, okay? So used to is used to talk about past habits or past states, which means, for example, states like happiness or things like that that are emotions and not necessarily an action, right? Does that make sense? So used to, past habits or past states. And let's see some examples. I used to feel overwhelmed when I worked there. So we can use used to talk about feelings, okay? Something that you used to feel in the past, a habitual feeling, and it doesn't happen anymore, okay? That's the focus of used to. Something that was continuous, like a past habit, really, and it's not a habit anymore. It's not a common state for you anymore, okay? So I used to feel overwhelmed when I worked there. So maybe in your last job, you had way too many responsibilities and you felt overwhelmed. Overwhelmed means when you feel like you have more in your hands than you can really handle. We use the expression overwhelmed, okay? I used to feel overwhelmed when I worked there. And how do we make this a question? Did you used to feel overwhelmed? So you heard that the person had a tough job and you can ask, did you used to feel overwhelmed? And this is an interesting thing because it's a common mistake for natives to write, did you used to? But you guys remember that when we have did, our verb is in base form, okay? Not in the past tense. So it's not correct to say, did you used to? But I'm sure if you pay attention, you guys will see that natives make this mistake all the time. Not only in interrogative sentences, but also in negative sentences, okay? So the correct way is, I didn't use to feel overwhelmed. And natives commonly will make the mistake of saying, I didn't used with the use in the past, but that's not correct, even though natives do that all the time, okay? So just be careful there. So if you want to talk about an action, I used to have breakfast with the team. So this is an active action, we can say, have breakfast, right? Means to eat your food in breakfast time. I used to have breakfast with my team. So we can use it for feelings, states, and actions that were habits in the past and now we don't have them anymore. And the next thing in this sentence is the verb miss, okay? So let's just remember our main uses of the verb miss. So miss in this case is to feel the absence. So when you feel that something isn't there anymore and you kind of wish it was, all right? So you, when you're feeling the absence of something. So you can say, I miss my former team. So former means previous, okay? I miss my former team. You mean you're feeling their absence. You kind of wish you had that team again, okay? It is also used when you fail to be present somewhere. For example, we missed their presentation. So maybe you were late, you had something holding you up, and you didn't watch the presentation because you weren't present, okay? So it failed to be present, maybe because you were late or you simply couldn't go, okay? You failed to be present. Or when you don't hit your target. So for example, we missed our proposed result by maybe $200. Okay, so maybe you had a goal and you missed it by $200. You didn't hit your target. We use the verb miss, okay? When you had a target, but you don't get it exactly. This can be used to talk about values and about physical things like throwing something somewhere. For example, if you're playing basketball, we also use the verb miss, okay? When you don't make your point. Okay, so moving on, our next sentence from the same class is that something you enjoy? Because to be honest, that's definitely not my cup of tea. I'd rather know what to expect than to have to reinvent the wheel every other day. Let's read again. Is that something you enjoy? Because to be honest, that's definitely not my cup of tea. I'd rather know what to expect than to have to reinvent the wheel every other day. So we have this cup of tea here. And even though it doesn't make a lot of sense when we think about it literally, it is very common, okay? It's an expression to say something you enjoy, okay? Something you enjoy, something you appreciate. So if you say, that's not my cup of tea, it means that's not something that I personally like, not something that I appreciate, okay? But you can also say, that is just my cup of tea, okay? So if someone's talking about math, for example, and you love math, you love to calculate things, you can say, that's just my cup of tea. So that's something that I appreciate, okay? Or that's, if you don't like math, not my cup of tea. Okay, so just here has a sense of exactly, okay? That's just my cup of tea. That's exactly my cup of tea. That's exactly what I enjoy. And that's not my cup of tea. That's not something that I like, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is a really simple structure that is, I'd rather something than something. So when we are talking about our preferences, when we have a certain preference over another one, above another one, we use that structure, okay? So I'd rather work weekends than stay late every day. So if you prefer to work on weekends so that you can go home early during the week, for example, you can say, I'd rather work weekends than stay late every day. So it's important to note here that we always use I'd rather, okay? If you're not going to abbreviate, it would be I would rather. And we also use then after, okay? Those two parts are what make this structure, okay? And then we have every other day. Every other day. What does that mean? So we use this structure every other when we are talking about alternating dates, okay? What in Portuguese we would say, for example, one day yes, one day no. In Portuguese you would say that. In English, we just say every other day, okay? So if it's alternating days, something you do one day and you don't do the next, and then you do again on the other day, okay? Alternating. But we can use this with week. So every other week. I have to check on our system every other week. So it means what in Portuguese we would say one week yes and one week no. Okay? So this class, before we finish it, we have to remember that it's talking about discussing motivation, okay? So if you are discussing motivation with your colleagues, it is very important to be a good listener, okay? The more you listen to your colleagues, the better you'll be able to talk to them about how they're feeling, and also the other way around. I mean, when you want to talk about motivation, maybe you're not feeling so good, you need the other person to listen. So if you are going to talk about motivation with somebody else, you have to be a good listener, and that's how we make the conversation work, okay? So that's it for this sentence and this class, so let's move on. Our next sentence is, that's one of the reasons why I thought you'd make a good team leader. Thanks for proving me right. So let's read again. That's one of the reasons why I thought you'd make a good team leader. Thanks for proving me right. So again, we are going to talk about the verb make. We've talked about make in a lot of previous classes, in reviews and in Business in Focus and everywhere. But it's important to remember some of the uses, okay? So the first one is to create something. So for example, if your company works with maybe toys, you can say, my company makes toys. So create in the sense of produce, all right? Or food, okay? I make food for my family. So it is a sense of production, of creation, so we use the verb make. Our next use is force, okay? So when you kind of convince someone or force someone to do something that they weren't planning to do or they really didn't want to do, okay? So you can say, our CEO made us change our product's features. So maybe your team really didn't want to change the features. It was kind of a last minute thing, but our CEO saw that somehow and he made us change our product features, something we weren't planning to do and we really didn't want to do maybe. Okay, so our CEO made us change our product features. And here in the class, we have the sense of perform a specific function, okay? So, or be suited for. So when you fit right into a specific function, we can say you make something, okay? So for example, if you work with quality control, you make an excellent chemical analyst. So it means you perform this role very well. You are perfectly suited. You fit perfectly in this function, okay? And I'm going to leave some other uses of make in the PDF of this class. So if you want to check, you can take a look. But these are some of the most common ones, okay? So create in the sense of produce or prepare something that wasn't ready, or force someone to do something, or perform a function, or be fit for a certain role or function, okay? So let's move on. Let's see our next sentence. What I wanted to talk to you about, though, is the compensation I believe I should receive for my new responsibilities. So here we have two sentences that could be connected by a relative clause, which is, in this case, that, okay? So verbs like say, believe, tell, all of those verbs, they can be used with the relative clause that, but it's optional, okay? But since it's optional, if you are in doubt, you can use it, okay? Because in Portuguese, we always use que, right? We always say, eu acredito que, and in English, we can say, I believe that I should receive, or just, I believe I should receive, okay? But since it's optional, it's up to you whether you want to use it or not, okay? The sense of the sentence will be the same. So I can say, they said that the products are ready. If I say, they said the products are ready, it doesn't change anything, okay? So when in doubt, you can use it. We just keep that when we are connecting a subject with a second part of the sentence, all right? That company is the one that calls us every day. So here we have a verb right after that, okay? In these cases, we can't remove that, okay? So this that is pulling that subject, company, to connect it with the verb in the second part of the sentence, all right? So when you have a verb right after it and not a noun or a pronoun, we can't lose the that, okay? Or another example, so you can say, my computer has a program that needs the update. So we have that here, pulling on that subject, so we can use it with the verb need, okay? We can just say, my computer program needs the update, but if you want to say, my computer has the program that needs the update, if you want to give more details, we have this that here, making that connection. So again, here we have the verb right after it, so we couldn't really remove it from the sentence, okay? And if you have a noun or a pronoun, you can, okay? So this class is about negotiating a raise. And when you are negotiating a raise, one of the most important aspects is to be confident, okay? So if you are going to talk to your manager or someone about getting a raise, you have to be confident. You have to think about the things you've achieved and maybe how much you've improved during the time that you've been in your current role, okay? So be confident and have some results to show, have some things planned, you know, at the tip of your tongue for you to talk about your role with confidence when you are negotiating a raise, okay? So let's move on to our next sentence. Let's read together. You have always been a consistently good worker. You have always been a consistently good worker. So here, once again, we have present perfect because we are talking about something that began in the past and is still true, is still affecting us in the present, okay? So we use present perfect. You have always been a consistently good worker. And other than that present perfect, we have the word consistently. So let's remember some other adverbs that are very common that end in ly. Then we have some exceptions, which are words that end in ly and aren't adverbs, okay? So quickly is also an adverb that ends in ly. We have positively, quickly, positively, remarkably. Remarkably is an interesting adverb because it means something that catches your attention and has very high quality. You know, something that catches your attention because it is unique and high quality. So in this sentence, if I say you have always been a remarkably good worker, it means that it's something that has always caught your attention, something that people notice, okay? So remarkable has that sense, and remarkably, okay? So remarkable is the adjective and remarkably is the adverb, all right? And things like that. Again, as we've said before, this will make your speech rich and your vocabulary more diverse. So it's good to know these adverbs, okay? So let's move on to the next sentence from the same class, which was actually our last dialogue class, okay? Let's read together. If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away then. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So the first thing is in this sentence is something really interesting, which is if I were you. So why do we have were after I? Do you guys remember that after I, the verb to be in past tense is I was? So for example, I was working yesterday, we use was, right? So why are we using were in this sentence? So this structure is very specific when we talk about something that we wish was true, but it's not true, okay? So it doesn't matter if it's I or she, if she were here, she isn't, and it's probably impossible for her to be. That's when we use were for everybody, okay? When we talk about something that maybe we wanted to be true, and it's not true, and it's probably not possible to become true, okay? So if she were here, she would make a big difference. So maybe you wish she was here because things would be different, but it's probably not possible, okay? In that case, we use if she were here, she would make a big difference. Or if I were there, I would make a big difference. So you wish that could happen, but it really can't, okay? That's when we use that structure. And the next thing in this sentence is right away. So right away can be used in any time, okay, in any tense. So it basically means immediately. Immediately, that's very simple, right? But referring to the past or the present or the future, all right? So when we get home, I'm talking about the future. When we get home, I'll call her right away. So I'm talking about the future, so I can use right away. If I am talking about the past, when we got home, I called her right away. So those two are the most common uses of right away. But so as you guys remember, we also have right now, which can kind of be confusing between right away and right now. What is the difference? But while right away can be used in the future or in the past or anything like that to mean immediately, right now actually means at this moment, okay? So I'm working right now. Because it has this sense of at this moment, it is usually used in present tense, okay? So right now means at this moment, I'm working right now, or she is doing the interview right now. So at this moment, the moment we are talking to each other, she's doing the interview, all right? So that's our last sentence from our last dialogue class, but I actually got another sentence just for us to remember the pronunciation of some company parts, okay? The most common parts of a company, all right? So let's take a look. This next sentence is actually from the same class, but I'm not really gonna talk about the sentence as a whole. I'm going to talk about the department, okay? So legal department, most companies have a legal department. So let's see the pronunciation, okay? So legal, legal. We have two strong L's here, okay? So that strong L sound, legal. Legal department. We have other departments that are very common in basically every company. So let's pronounce these names together, okay? So legal, we've already talked about. IT, okay? So information technology. We never say the full name, okay? It's very uncommon. So we just say IT. And then we have human resources, which can be said with or without the abbreviation, okay? So human resources. Human resources, all right? So be careful with the pronunciation there, or just HR. And then we have marketing. Marketing, it is interesting for us to note that the T sound is different in American English and British English, okay? So in American English, we have kind of an R sound, marketing, marketing. In British English, it would be marketing, okay? So the British don't really do that R sound with the T. It's just a T sound, kind of like Portuguese, okay? Marketing in British English and marketing in American English. And then we have sales. Sales also has a strong L, but not as strong as legal. Logistics. Logistics. So logistics isn't really an O sound in the beginning. It's kind of a more subtle sound, logistics. Then we have financial. This one is also very important for us to pay attention to the pronunciation. Financial, financial. Okay, so we have the sh sound. Research and development. If you work with products, you definitely have a research and development sector in your company, which is called R&D. Okay, quality control, quality assurance, QC and QA. So control is normal, but assurance is kind of a different pronunciation from what is written. So assurance. And then we have public relations. Public relations. This one is most commonly used in the abbreviated form, PR. And then we have simply production. Okay, so our production department, usually where they have the machines. It is also very common to call the production department the manufacturing department. Okay. So just remember that manufacturing actually emphasizes the idea of turning raw products into finished products, okay? And production is usually a more general term. It can be used for technology, programs, and non-physical things. And manufacturing is used for physical things that have a raw supply, maybe, in the beginning and becomes a finished product, okay? So production is a more general term, and manufacturing is more specific to that sense of one thing becoming another thing through machines and processes, okay? So that's our Business in Focus and Dialogue review. If you have any questions, leave them here under this class, and I'll see you next class. Don't forget to do your written activities, okay? Bye!